Socks on 35th is next. Doors open on the left.
How's it going, everybody? My name is Duke Coughlin, and welcome to the Socks on 35th podcast. We are back with another sub-exciting episode covering your Chicago White Sox. As always, I'm joined by our panelists, Jordan Zowski and Nick Gower. Spring training is in full swing. Madness has ensued. How are we doing?
I'm doing all right, I think. I don't know. I know I was supposed to have something clever for these, but I didn't have anything clever right now. I'll do better once the season starts.
We'll chalk that up as one episode that Jordan has nothing interesting to say.
Which, just one? I'm pretty sure people would argue that's more than just one.
Well, we're starting the tally already, I guess. I'm kind of in the same boat, though. It feels weird that the season's like already basically here. I mean, technically it started already with the Dodgers and Padres, but spring training flew by and it didn't in the same way. I feel like the fact that Blake Snell just signed and Montgomery still unsigned is really weird. But from a White Sox standpoint, at least we're about to start up. And we'll talk about it later, but I like the Crochet news, and there's a lot of interesting stuff to talk about, at least.
I think that's maybe the weird thing, is that I don't feel like the season is here, but also it's here. Like, our next episode's a season preview episode, and then it's here. I don't know. Maybe that's... I'm in a weird state, I guess, with baseball right now.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat, because normally around this time of the year, I'm like planning on my like opening day weekend, or like getting down to the park for the first time, or I would already have my tickets locked in by now. And I'm just kind of going through the motions. I'm probably going to be there for the first Saturday home game. But at the same time, I'm like, what's the rush? And I think it's very, very telling when the team, before the season started, when they had already announced their promotion schedule, has already announced that they're adding to the promotion schedule. So ticket sales are already trying to be driven. So if that doesn't explain what we're possibly heading into the 2024 season, I genuinely just don't know what it is. But we do have some interesting baseball news covering this episode. But before we get started, be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Also, be sure to check out the website, socksonthirtyfifth.com, as well as following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at socksonthirtyfifth. So, I guess, Nick, you already kind of brought up the Garrett Crochet situation. We will get into that here in a little bit. But kind of on the flip side of a reliever, historically a reliever, joining the starting rotation and actually being the opening day starter, one of the things that's been talked about lately is Michael Kopech going to the bullpen. For a lot of people, it's kind of a rejoice. For some people, it's disappointing. For others, they kind of understand that it might be for the best. Nick, I'll let you kick us off here. How do you feel about Michael Kopech going to the bullpen? Do you think this is something that could potentially be a long-term move? Do you think it makes sense based on his past success in the bullpen? Where are you currently standing on it?
Yeah, I think my position is I get it, but I'm not a huge fan of it at the same time. Anything with Michael Kopech, I always go back to 2021 when I feel like they made some effort to establish an innings base on his arm for the next season to be a starter, but they didn't do enough. Like, there were stretches where he would only pitch one inning at a time. There were stretches where he wouldn't pitch for like 6 days. And he was so effective out of the bullpen that year as like a 2 to 3 inning guy sometimes. And that's the role where if you're going to move into the bullpen now, I would kind of like to see him in that. Not a mop-up guy, not a long reliever in the traditional sense, but more so a guy you can bring in a close game in the sixth or seventh inning. And, maybe you give him the ball and you don't get it back until the eighth, potentially. That kind of thing, just like a shutdown multi-inning reliever, would be great in theory, because he would be, maybe more free with the fastball, not holding back as much. And that's what he's done in the past. What I'm more concerned with is it feels like they're trying to make him a closer, or trying to make him like a one inning at a time guy potentially, which I feel like is not great for his value. Maybe his stuff will play out better. Maybe it's a good decision from a statistical standpoint, but I'm just a little disappointed in frankly, just overall how his career has gone. I don't think that much of it is his fault necessarily. I think the organization could have put him in better spots, but long-term I'm fine with him in the bullpen if it's as a multi-inning guy and not necessarily one inning at a time. But that being said, you know, Ronaldo Lopez was a one-inning guy here for a lot of the time at the end, and now he's starting for Atlanta, so you never know what other teams will see in Kopech.
I just don't know what the end goal is. Like, let's backtrack. I agree with this move. I remember when we were having, like, our post-mortem on this last rebuild episode, I kind of said, you know, if I had known things were going to go the way they have gone right now, I would have made Kopech the closer 3 years ago and spent the money differently on Hendricks. Now they're kind of getting to that point. The problem is, I ask what the end goal is, because they've only got 2 years left on his contract. It almost feels like it makes most sense to try and make him the closer and try and ship him out of town and get something for him. He's not very useful to this team the next 2 years as a reliever. And I don't think doing this comes with the intention of making him a starter eventually. So why not maximize his value, make him a closer, and then July-ish, someone trades for him if he does really well. He's succeeded as a reliever. People concerned about, you know, oh, I don't know if he can handle being a reliever. His best season came as a reliever. So I'm not concerned about that. I'm just wondering what the end goal of it is more. So I agree with the decision. I probably would have done it. I don't know. They screwed it all up. We've had this conversation. Once they committed to making him a bullpen piece, I probably would have just left him there. Yeah, maybe he could piggyback off of Crochet as a starter, kind of like you're saying, Nick, kind of like we discussed last episode, but I'd probably just make him the closer at this point.
So I think the one thing that really kind of gets me with his development as a whole, and it's really missing out on 2020 for him. That was a really crucial year in his development, and I feel like he's just kind of been playing catch up since then. You know, Michael Kopech, even when you look at him as a starter, he's always been far more successful either through the first time through the order, or if he's inconsistent early, the second time through the order. So he's not somebody that has necessarily thrived on being able to pitch deep into games. Third time through the order usually doesn't roll to that all that great for him. But if he can jump out when he's on the mound without walking and attacking the zone and hitting his pitches, usually, you know, you're going to get something good out of him that day. And when you can limit that to an inning or two at a time out of the bullpen, it probably works best for where he's at right now. So I don't disagree with the move. I'm somebody who is a huge Michael Kopech fan. I think his stuff is electric, and I think he does eventually have a path to being an MLB starter, whether it's with us or not. And Nick, I actually do really like the point you brought up about Reynaldo Lopez being a starter now, because I could see a team doing that with Michael Kopech down the line. It's you know, just kind of top of my point. It's more disappointing because it just makes me think about how much we kind of dropped the ball in his developmental cycle. You know, he was never really able to get into too much of a rhythm before we were changing something with what he was doing. It's a shame. I do think he can be electric out of the bullpen, though. I don't know if they're going to toss him right to the closer role, but even like a setup role where you can kind of see what you're getting out of him quick. And, you know, not only can I think he can thrive in this role, but he's had a really good attitude about it as well. He's been totally accepting of the role. It's not a situation where, you know, he's, you know, cutting up jerseys in the locker room because he's not a starter. You know what I mean? It's a situation where he's accepting of it. He understands his struggles, and he's just trying to go out there and pitch the best baseball he possibly can. And, you know, maybe a year of him being dominant out of the bullpen brings confidence back to him if he tries to find a way back to the starting rotation. And with the way our starting rotation is currently built, no offense to anybody who potentially makes a starting rotation, there's very much a spot for him to get back into the rotation really at any point throughout the course of the season. So him maybe getting a month or two out of the bullpen and looking lights out and potentially hitting a situation where maybe he gets a spot start where he looks very good. Or maybe this is a situation where they pair him with Garrett Crochet, similar to what we said on the last episode, until Garrett Crochet can get innings down. There's a path to get him back as a starter. But I do agree with the idea of getting him into the bullpen, building some confidence, and I think it's just the best for him right now.
I think Ronaldo Lopez will be a very interesting test case for teams, because he's someone who's kind of like Kopech in that he's got two main pitches, and then there's that third one that just, if you can't find something to land even 10-15% of the time, you're going to struggle. I think that's where Kopech, outside of just command issues, you've seen starters with command issues succeed. So it's not just a command thing. Lopez will be an interesting test case. I'm going to go with the theory that they're going to look to trade him. So I don't think I personally don't think he ever starts another game with the White Sox. The one thing that interests me with all of this, probably when it comes to both Kopech and then some of what Getz said regarding the topic, is the idea that they don't want to worry about, hey, there's someone in the rotation that only goes three innings and then we kind of tax our bullpen and that changes everything else. It's like, I don't want that to mean you turn and try and get safe starters who are just innings eaters. Like, if you just do that, you're going to suck badly for a very long time. That's the only thing about all of this that kind of concerns me in terms of just the philosophy behind it. If the philosophy was, yeah, we tried this, doesn't have a third pitch that he can land, and doesn't have the command to really be a true starter, fine. I can accept that. It's more like, well, we want to make sure guys get deep into games and we don't tax our bullpen. It's like, then are you missing out on potentially an electric starter for more than just one or two innings at a time? That's what concerns me about all of it. We'll see what happens in terms of how they build a team moving forward. But if you just end up building a team with a bunch of, they call them like inning eating chads, like those guys who have post like a 450 ERA, but throw 200 innings, and you just fill your rotation with those moving forward, those guys suck. You're going to lose a lot of games. And I hope that's not the philosophy. I'm not saying it is, but it's something where it's at least something I'm going to look at moving forward.
Yeah. Another thing kind of related to that actually is that apparently in the most recent game that Kopech pitched in, I believe against Cincinnati, he was hitting, you know, 97, 98 miles per hour, which is a good sign in spring training, especially because he had some quote in 2020, in spring training of 2020. And by spring training, I mean actually in the spring, like February, March of 2020, right before it all shut down, where Kopech, it was, you know, his first appearances since Tommy John. And he was saying how he wants to be a pitcher now, not a thrower. He wants to focus more on location and let his stuff speak for itself. So if he has to hit, you know, 94 instead of 98, that's fine with him. And I remember hearing that quote and thinking, like, yeah, I get the philosophy behind it, but I don't love hearing that from someone for when velocity is such a calling card for that person. Like, I'm not saying, you know, fuck locate or screw location or whatever. I'm saying that velocity is still, you know, so important. And I'm hoping that in the bullpen, he kind of, to Jordan's point, the philosophy is he throws harder and lets it all out for one inning, if he's a closer than for one inning. And hopefully that leads to an effect where his stuff plays off. Because overall, I mean, yeah, the philosophy of like filling your rotation with a bunch of, you know, safer guys because you don't want to put in the elbow grease with a guy like Kopech. By that logic, he would have missed out on Dylan Cease probably. You probably would have moved him to the bullpen after like the 2020 season where he had that like really, I don't remember what it was. I think it was like either his ERA and his FIP, one of them was like 4 and the other was like 6.5. It was like a really weird season. And like, that was kind of like a big moment for him. Like 2021 was like either you pitch well as a starter or you get moved kind of year. And obviously he pitched well. So yeah, I agree with Jordan there on just the logic and the long-term philosophy, but I'm hoping that Kopech really just goes back to that sort of like, I'm going to just throw my fastball by you kind of mentality, because that I feel like was so much more successful for him earlier in his career.
Like, I know we have these conversations and it's all the old school, new school, or whatever. It's always, both is always the answer, but velocity is still king. Like, throwing at a high velocity is still the most important thing guys can do in many cases. It's not one size fits all, obviously, but there's a reason teams and players chase velocity. It's and just to put an analogy on it, like, I don't want them to fill, like, it's going back to the last episode, I don't want you to fill the rotation with a bunch of Drew Thorpes. That forces guys to be way too perfect, and you can see what happens when you don't. When you got the velocity, you can make more mistakes. That's what it comes down to. And Nick, like you're saying, it's a good sign that the velocity seems to be up a tick since focusing more on a bullpen 1-2 inning role.
Well, I mean, it's kind of pitching 101. I mean, whether you're going to be a starter or a reliever, you never want to go into a start knowing you're going to pitch 7 innings and just completely ramp it up the entire time. A guy like Carlos Rodon actually kind of saved his career by going to that type of philosophy, because early on in his career, Rodon would last about 4 innings, but he was throwing straight gas the entire time. Whereas what he did in his more dominant seasons was he would kind of build up to that, and he would throw maybe consistently like 95, 96 throughout the course of the majority of the start. And then once it gets to about the later innings, that's when he can really start to pull back, and that's when he's hitting 98, 99. So I understand the idea of wanting velocity the entire game. But it's one thing I did notice with Kopech when he went to be a starter, especially last season, was really being able to kind of take a little tick off the fastball so he could try to last a little bit longer. You know, and I don't know if that was an arm fatigue thing, but, you know, simply put, guys naturally, unless you're Nolan Ryan, aren't supposed to throw 100 miles per hour the entire game. It just doesn't work that way. You're going to destroy your arm if you try. So I don't necessarily hate the idea of when Kopech is starting to take a couple ticks off the fastball and be able to kind of bring it out when you really need it. But on the flip side of that, being able to see him go out there, know that he's only going to pitch an inning or two, and be able to just really let it loose also is very much an asset. And it's a lot easier on the arm in the long term. That's why you don't see as many injuries to the closer per se. If they're in a rhythm of going a couple years where they're just throwing straight gas for an inning every couple days, they're kind of built up to do that. But guys naturally aren't really built to throw 98, 99 gas the entire game without it somewhere down the line leading to long-term issues. Speaking of being able to, throw the gas long-term, Garrett Crochet, the guy who infamously kind of jumped onto the scene his rookie season throwing straight gas, has finally become a starter. He's actually going to be the opening day starter for the Chicago White Sox in a move that I don't think any of us saw coming. I know it's something we talked about, Garrett Crochet being a starter. I didn't really see him being named the opening day starter. That was a bit of a shock to the system. It kind of throws a lot of our plans that we talked about into the woods, but Laz, if you're building a plan for Garrett Crochet with the way the White Sox are kind of positioning him, how would you handle him moving forward and taking him to the minors or using him as an opener? Really, probably isn't an option on this at this point.
Yeah, it's going to be weird. It's going to the question is going to be, what's the number of innings they're looking to get for him, and how do you get there while also pitching the majority of the season? We tossed this around previously, the idea of an opener type of role in Crochet and having Kopech follow him. I don't think they're going to do that now, obviously. I think they're just going to have to find a way now that they extend out 100 to 110 innings or so, but they do it over the course of the season. Like, just doing it over, what, two-thirds of the season worth of, like, just generally getting up to close to 30 starts, even if you don't throw 200 innings, will be important for him. If that means it's 4-inning starts to start, and then 5 innings, and then 6 innings, so be it. I like this plan, though, and it's a nice commitment from the team, kind of after just talking about how they didn't commit to Kopech one way or another. It's a nice commitment to Crochet to say, hey, we are going to try this. Again, what's the end goal? What is the long-term future of Garrett Crochet and the White Sox? Not just in general, but for the team. These are the questions they're going to have to start considering more and more. And for fans who are kind of like on the fence in terms of decisions this team is making, I think maybe I'm giving Getz too much credit. I think there's an element of he has an idea of what the timeline is, even though we haven't figured it out. And he also has, too, a timeline and understanding of who's going to be here long-term and who's not going to be. Maybe you maximize your value trading Garrett Crochet if you can get him to be a true starter. Maybe you maximize the value for Michael Kopech when you show he's a lockdown closer. Is that giving the team too much credit? Maybe. Is it a legitimate strategy, though, as well? Yes. Just depends on what this team's timeline is.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a guy in Crochet who threw, between the majors and minors, 24 innings last year and zero the year before that. So, I mean, aside from like sprint training, I think he got hurt pretty early in it. So, yeah, to Jordan's point, you're definitely not going to be asking him to pitch, you know, 5+ innings regularly. Even getting to, you know, 100 innings on the season, I think would be a bit of an accomplishment based off of where he's coming from. But that being said, whether you're doing it, you know, 3-4 inning starts for the whole season, or, you know, ramping up a bit to 5+, 5-6 innings and then shutting them down at some point, you have to be creative. But that's what we're having, especially if they're not necessarily great pitchers. That's where we're having people like Chris Flexen and maybe, you know, Tuki Toussaint on your roster. That's where having them helps, because you could always have them come in to pitch, you know, 4 or 5 innings out of the bullpen if you need them to. And frankly, as a, just from a fan perspective, this is way more fun, right? Like Garrett Crochet is like the one pitcher in the starting rotation. I mean, I guess like there's some upside with Fetty and Soroka. I'm not trying to put them down, but just from a pure stuff standpoint, he's like by far the standout pitcher in the rotation. Even if he's not pitching full, you know, 6 inning starts, let's say, it still just gives fans more of a reason to watch. And well, we might never see the 2020 version of Crochet again, because I still don't know how that happened when that was just a ridiculous run of pitching. We could see, you know, the 2021 version out of the bullpen, I feel like, was kind of a underappreciated member of that playoff team. Like he was really solid that year. And I think even just getting that level back as a starter, because his velocity has been great as a starter in the spring. So even just getting that back would be huge for this team. And to Jordan's point, maybe for his trade value, or, you know, I could see him potentially on the next good White Sox team if he's the kind of guy you can get an extension with, considering he doesn't have, you know, maybe the highest value right now, considering his injury history. So a lot of possible avenues, but it's just refreshing to have a super talented player being showcased or being committed to use Jordan's word. And that's something we don't have much of lately. So it's nice to see.
It's going to have opening day roster implications, I think, because now you have to start building a bullpen that doesn't just have one inning flamethrower type guys. It has to be guys who can throw multiple innings, because you look at the state of this rotation. Like, yeah, Garrett Crochet is exciting, absolutely, and that's another really good reason to want them to do this. But who's coming in for innings 5, 6, 7, potentially 8? I don't know what the plan is there, and I think it has ramifications on like the Brian Shaws of the world, or all these different, even Jordan Leisure's of the world too. Like, are they going to prioritize guys who are the Tuki Toussaints of the world? And Chris Flexen might find himself in that spot. I don't know what their plan is necessarily, but it's going to force Pedro Grifol and Chris Getz to be a little bit smarter about how they handle the bullpen too, in hopes that Garrett Crochet can get, let's just say, 20 starts this year, 25 starts this year. Like, that would be awesome. That would be a lot. But that would be if they can make it about 110, 115 innings, and he throws until August. That would be awesome. I don't know how they're going to do that. They're probably going to have to skip starts here and there. It's going to be a lot. And I think it's going to be a lot to manage. With Katz and Bannister, I do trust what they're able to be able to do in terms of management of it. But the lineup card day in, day out, and the overall 26-man roster is definitely going to have some implications from making a move like this.
You know, when I first heard about the Crochet news, it was shocking a little bit to me. You know, I knew he was going to be a starter this year somehow, somewhere, you know, whether it was in AAA or whether it was kind of like a midseason call-up type thing once he maybe got a little bit comfortable in AAA. Didn't see opening day happening. I kind of had some time for it to simmer, and I just kind of thought about it. Like, I started getting excited about the idea of what Garrett Crochet can do in 5, 6 innings if he eventually gets to that point. Like, being able to be that power lefty arm at honestly, with the potential to be at the top of the rotation. You know, he comes from that pedigree. He does have that arm talent when he's able to do it. It's exciting. It is. You know, Jordan, you kind of alluded to, you know, you think Getz has a plan, and, you know, I think he does too. Do I think it's going to be the right plan? You know, that's still up for a lot of interpretation, but it's starting to really feel like, as we get close to the start of this season, that it's going to be a lot of throwing shit at the wall and seeing what sticks with a lot of these guys. We're going to really see what some of these people are capable of, you know, because you look at the Crochet move, and then you look at like the complete opposite side of the spectrum with what we just talked about, Michael Kopech. And it's like, with putting Garrett Crochet in there, it's like, okay, that's fine. There's nobody really beating the door down for the starting rotation, except for maybe Nick Nastrini outside of the guys we signed to be starters. But then on the flip side, when you see Michael Kopech go to the bullpen, you're like, well, nobody's really beating the door down in the starting rotation. Like, who is he keeping out? You know? So it's a situation where like, I think there's a plan in place, but I think we're going to see what Getz is really serious about with this team and who he's going to move forward with after this season, because it's starting to feel like we're going to be really just trying out, like, this is going to be kind of the last line for some of these top prospects that we had been dealing with for the last couple of years, and being like, okay, so we're going to see what you can do for us. Otherwise, you can figure it out with another team. And I think that's kind of the direction we're going. It's going to be really interesting to see how Getz plays this along. And, you know, I really do want to preface by saying, I don't know, like, I'm not saying it's smart, but it seems like Getz has some sort of plan going. It's going to take some time to really see how it plays out. And we're kind of seeing the early on of cleaning up the roster that he kind of was given and seeing what is still here.
And I get the idea of, if you're going to put Crochet in the rotation, it's hard to also put Kopech there. Like, I kind of do get what Getz is saying, that like two of those guys who might not go very deep into games, at least early on in the season, that's hard to manage as a ball club. Yes, is anyone necessarily knocking down the door? Probably not. But is this team going to win this year? Probably not either. It probably won't matter at the end of the day. I don't know. That's a frustrating thing where it's like, you'd like to be able to see some progress this year, but the reality is there's nobody here that's going to prevent from seeing legitimate progress from those you want to see legitimate progress from. I don't know. I guess that's my roundabout way of saying, like, I guess I do get the plan, assuming I think it is what I think it is. And I like it as a result. Maximize guys where they're most likely to succeed. Maybe Crochet isn't likely to succeed there, but maybe it's not likely, most likely to succeed, but most likely to maximize their value.
Basically, Chris Getz has some shit in his hand. He's like, hey guys, look, this is shit. This is a wall. We're going to see if it sticks.
And I get it in a year like this. Chicago White Sox. And I really do get it in a year like this. The problem continues to be for me, and I'll harp on it, I'll say it a million times, what's the timeline for this thing? Like, I'm fine. This year's a throwaway year. I get it. But what marks success for the 2024 White Sox? I think now we're starting to get a picture. Like, Crochet succeeds as a starter. Michael Kopech becomes a lockdown closer. Like, now we're starting to see what makes this team successful, potentially. But I still don't have a timeline yet. And I'd like to have one of those. Maybe I'm asking for too much as a fan, but that's just where I stand.
Well, something that would certainly give us a better idea of what the timeline would be some of the other guys coming up into the rotation, especially a guy like Nick Nastrini, who, you know, I don't want to say it's happened since he's been on the Sox on 35th podcast, but the guy is just absolutely skyrocketed. You know, he has been on social media. You know, he has been a darling of the city since he decided to put mustard on his hot dogs. And now he's pitching very, very well in spring training in a season where, as we just talked about for probably the first half hour of this episode, pitching rotation is a bit of a toss up right now with where guys are at. Nick, I'm going to let you kick off this point. How do you feel about Nick Nastrini potentially being a part of this rotation? Do you think what you've seen in spring can really show in the regular season? Do you think maybe, yes, while it's a great spring, you don't want to rush it because you potentially hurt the development? Or is this a situation that we're in a season where we might have guys in AAA that are better than our major league roster, so why not just keep him up and see what he can do?
Yeah, I think ultimately I'm fine either way, but if I were running things with the information that I have, I would probably start him up in the majors just because, not just of how good he looked in spring, but even the way he closed out last season, the work he's put in the offseason, like, he clearly has the stuff to get guys out at a big league level. It just comes down to execution and the ability to locate consistently enough to, you know, get by as it is for any rookie. So he's going to be in the big league rotation, in my opinion, for the majority of this season, assuming good health. So you might as well just start it now. Obviously, there are the service time concerns that we all know and love, but that's another debate. So just purely on merit, I would say to bring him up. It does, and kind of to what you brought up, Duke, it does kind of bring up a complication on a personal level, because after we had him on the podcast, even before, you know, it kind of blew up with the whole hot dog clip, I was like, wow, that was such a cool interview. I am definitely going to buy tickets for whatever his home debut is and go watch him pitch, because, like, I really appreciate the time he spent with us and how, like, nice he was. And now if he makes the roster on opening day, his debut would probably be like a day game against the Braves on like a Wednesday. And it's like, I have work. Like, can I go to that? I don't know. But
can I justify asking off a Wednesday for the 2024 White Sox?
Right.
I don't know if I can.
Right. Like, I have the flashbacks to like in 2021, the playoffs, not the Garcia game, but the game after that, it got rained out and moved the next day. I remember asking my boss, like, hey, I know I requested today off. Can I actually make it tomorrow instead? Here's why. And they were like, yeah, we don't care. But like, having to do it for like a regular season game is so weird.
I remember my boss was willing to move mountains for me to go to just a 10-3 or whatever the score was, ass kicking. And I remember that vividly. And to your point, I don't know if you can make that same argument this time, but I like the potential effort.
Yeah, I'd like to go either way. I mean, we'll see if he makes it, and maybe he pitches that Tuesday night. That's the game I kind of would like to go to from a schedule standpoint. But either way, he deserves it is my overall point. And it's not like there's another option that's like that great. So I would say, why not just give it to him?
It's a tough conversation on roster building here. Is it, do you just go safe? Is it on merit? Is it both? Is it neither? Is it one or the other, I guess, essentially? With a completely other person, like Corey Lee is an example, had a really, really good spring. They just sent him to AAA because they signed two catchers. And like, that's a little bit of a different situation. You can discuss or debate the merits of signing two major league catchers to block someone from even a backup role that might be part of the future. You can debate the merits. I get that. But with Nastrini and Leisure and these types of guys, you don't exactly have those same arguments. So it's difficult. It's like you want to reward merit, but can you? Should you start the service time? The service time clock sucks, and I really hate it. And I keep coming back to the same shit about what's the timeline? What's the timeline? I'd care less about it if I knew what the timeline was. Like, if we could reasonably say, like, hey, we want this team to compete in 2025. Fine, bring them up. What's a year going to do 3-4 years from now? Like, that's fine with me. If the goal is, hey, this is a little bit longer term, then what's the point of calling him up other than to reward merit? Like, rewarding merit, don't get me wrong, should be a thing in and of itself that we do, but it's still a business at the end of the day. So, I don't know. It's a little bit of both. It's a tough situation. I'd probably lean bringing him up simply because it's more, again, more interesting for fans. Kind of like the Crochet argument. There's a level of you have to make this team interesting. And if you really don't think there's much for Crochet to learn at the minor, or excuse me, Nastrini to learn in the minor leagues other than until we accrue another year of service time, then you can chalk up his development at the next level as another pillar of the 2024 White Sox, what makes them successful. I don't know. This is a tough argument because it gets into the merit of it. And I think once they build that final roster, we'll kind of see where they landed on that.
There's a situation where we're trying to build a little bit of a pipeline with some solid arms. And I know that's something we talked to at nauseam when we discussed the Dylan Cease trade. But, you know, with a potential like high end type of young pitcher coming in the draft, if that's the way we choose to go, we have enough built up that if we start getting killed on service time with a guy like Nick Nastrini, hopefully in theory we'll be good because we're kind of building more strong pitching prospects to be coming out of the minors. So that's where it stands. And that's nothing against Nick Nastrini. It's not a situation where it's like, oh, it's just Nick Nastrini. We can just get his clock going. It's not a big deal. It's a situation where this rotation is so undecided. And it's a rotation that could change sporadically throughout the season. There's besides Garrett Crochet, only on pedigree alone, that's like the only guy in the starting rotation right now where it's like, okay, yeah, he's probably going to be in the rotation all year. It would take a monumental failure for him to go out of the starting rotation at that point. Outside of that, the other four guys are pretty wide open. Like, let's just call it as it is. So when you have a situation of a young guy who looks pretty on the cusp of MLB ready, you have the potential to put him in the starting rotation from day one. Why not take that shot? At the very least, you know, you keep a short leash and you're able to send him back down to AAA if he struggles mightily. But honestly, if it's a situation, you know, kind of similar to like Lucas Giolito's first season, this is the season to let that guy do it. You know what I mean? As long as it doesn't kill his confidence, which Nick's a pretty confident guy. I don't think that would be an issue. I don't think struggling would be able to do that. I think you have the benefit of potentially seeing if you have something early on that's a really good pitcher, a really good potential starting pitcher that you can kind of ride with over the next couple of years. And if he struggles, he took his licks in the majors, and every starting pitcher besides the rare cases, you know, like people who take over baseball who end up being Hall of Famers, they take their licks at some point. Let this guy go out here, try to prove himself, and, you know, service time, while it might suck, it's still very early in that process. You know, I think it's a situation where Nick Nastrini was a very good piece that we brought in, but it's not like he was immediately our number one prospect in our developmental system to the point where we have to really worry about whether or not this guy's going to go up. I think he has a golden opportunity to prove that he's an MLB starter, and I really think we should just run with it at this point. I think we should run with it with really any prospects or any guys in AAA that look really good early on in the season if we have strugglers up in the major league level, because honestly, there's a very good chance we're playing as a quadruple A team this season.
No, it's a legitimate argument about Nastrini and the merits of service time in general. It's like, if it's an ace of a staff future guy, then yeah, let's have that argument. I don't think that's necessarily the case here. So, Duke, to your point, not what are we doing, but what are we arguing about, essentially? Also, let's think about it this way. Like, who is the fifth right now? We have Chris Flexen, Mike Soroka, Eric Fetty, Garrett Crochet. Am I forgetting a name? I don't think I am. Like, they sent down Schuster. Like, who's left? Toussaint? And Toussaint has not looked good. If you're talking about merit, like, if they pick Toussaint over Nastrini, they're clearly not playing the merit card. We might be having this conversation. Then you look at the roster, you're like, maybe it is him, because what other choice have they left for themselves, essentially? You send Kopech to the bullpen, fine. Crochet's a starter, cool. Well, we still need a fifth, right?
Now, on that note, does anybody know where Johnny Cueto is right now?
I was going to say, like, Lorenzen or Clevinger, but Cueto. That's a throwback.
I'm sorry. I love Johnny. I just had to bring that up.
Well, there's one way to solve it. The Lorenzen thing might, forget that. But that's a good point, Nick. I forgot that they had flirted with a couple free agents still. But that's money. And we know this team's not necessarily in a position to spend more, even if it's $8, $9 million for a starting pitcher. Also, is that starting pitcher going to be ready at this point? Like, they're probably going to need at least 2 weeks. They can get away without a fifth starter, but I don't know. Is it fair to bank on that? I bet they're still tossing around a few things, obviously, but it's at least worth having the conversation that it might be Nastrini, simply because who else could it be? Like, unless they're rolling one of us three out there, that's really about it.
I mean, would it be fair to Garrett Crochet to immediately jump into a four-man rotation? That would be brutal, but that would be...
Right, like, it's more so just from a schedule standpoint. Like, they can probably get away with keeping guys on five-day schedules and just how the off days work. But to your point, like, still, there's going to need to be guys there to eat a bunch of innings. I don't know where they're coming from. And we're not talking about a future ace of the staff. At least we don't think. Let's go with Nick Nastrini. That is a perfectly valid argument to make.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is all we have this week for the Sox on 35th podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Also, be sure to check out the website, SoxOn35th.com, as well as following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at SoxOn35th to stay up to date with your Chicago White Sox. Do want to give a shout out to Baseball Isn't Boring. I went and did a segment for him to have the terrible task of being able to make a case for the Chicago White Sox potentially being something, you know, team should be scared of this season. Really appreciate those guys. They're sending me a free t-shirt. They're going to have me probably come on a little bit later in the season. Great staff over there. That is a company that is headed, of course, by former White Sox pitcher and current Dodger pitcher Joe Kelly. So pretty cool stuff. Really appreciate them having me on. But with that, this has been Duke Coughlin, joined as always by Jordan Lazowski and Nick Gower. We'll be back next week as we cover another week of White Sox baseball. Thank you, and go Sox.
Go Sox.
Go Sox.